Welcome to The Third Way, a podcast to help us follow Jesus in our cultural moment from Fellowship Bible Church in Nashville, Tennessee. Here's today's episode with Rob and Lloyd.
Well, welcome back to The Third Way podcast, where we are talking about how we stand and how we walk in days that are challenging, a cultural moment that is, you know, perhaps unlike any other. It's certainly unlike any other in our own generation. It's about walking in the light, loving without fear, holding fast to the truth, resting on that promise. He who calls us is faithful. So, Rob, we talked last time about groaning. We're not done groaning. So, creation groans, waiting eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God, for that day when our bodies are physically resurrected, redeemed humanity on a redeemed and a new heaven and a new earth. So creation groaning, us groaning, but it leads us into this part of Romans that relates to the spirit groaning. And I will say, you know, as we broke these passages out, I was actually kind of glad you got this one, because if there's anything that people feel insecure about, it's their prayer life.
Oh, yeah. Well, me too.
And so I said, okay, Rob can talk about prayer. But after even reading the passage, I went, but wait. Oh, there's so much hope for our praying.
Oh, man.
If we're listening to Romans 8.
Yes. I think one thing it did is funny you said that, because when I was preparing the message, it didn't even cross my mind that I needed to sort of help people with that way. And I think the reason is I was so personally relieved and lifted by what this passage was saying for my own prayer life. It completely took the pressure off.
Oh, that's good.
And because ultimately, Lloyd, you know, as you know, what these verses really say is even our prayers are not ultimately up to us, in the sense that God is at work in ways that he's responsible for.
Yeah.
Even through our prayers.
Yeah. Well, so, unpack some of that relieved and encouraged.
It actually starts with this very first sentence, which I joked in the message that I was tempted to do the whole sermon just on this first sentence. You really could. Verse 26 of Romans 8. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. Period. Mm. And so, you know, he's going to talk about prayer in a minute, but I'll just say this. There's something that really grabbed a hold of me as I studied this text, that the Spirit is here to be our helper. That's what Jesus calls him when he introduces him to the disciples in the upper room. And the place he helps us, Lloyd, is in our weakness.
Mm-hmm.
The places where we're desperate, the places where we're suffering. I thought you did such a great job talking about suffering in your message the week before. It's in those places of smallness and desperation and our struggle for hope and our struggle for strength where the Spirit shows up. He moves toward weakness, not away from weakness. And I'll pause on this and just kind of let you interact around this. Isn't it interesting that prayer, if you think about it, is fundamentally a posture of need? It's a posture of weakness. It's a posture of dependence. It's saying, I need someone beyond myself because I am weak. The Spirit helps us in our weakness.
Well, thinking about that, let's go to our cultural moment again. We want to always keep ourselves immersed in the place we are. Is there anything right now in many sectors of our cultural, you know, chaos, is there anything more abhorred than weakness? Are you kidding me? I mean, blood in the water.
Yeah.
And so there's a point for all of us to pause and consider. Even as Jesus says, and Paul will, like, in my weakness, I'm made strong. But boy, weakness is anathema to our current circles of this culture.
Yes.
And it's heartbreaking, and yet it's so attractive to so many.
But you know what's interesting about that, Lloyd? Weakness is anathema to our cultural moment. You know what else it's anathema to? Our flesh.
Mm-hmm.
There is something about our flesh that just will not embrace weakness. I think it's literally in our wiring, in our physical bodies. It's like we're going to fight. Like, I'm not going to go, quiet into the night.
No.
It's this idea. And yet, think about Jesus. Mm-hmm. Of course he was powerful. Of course he was strong. Of course he showed up in his strength and all these kinds of things. But what fundamentally defined the incarnation was an emptying.
Mm-hmm.
Was a giving up, was a moving into weakness, was becoming, if you will, taking on a weak vessel, a human body. And then when he says, Jesus does about his own heart, he says, come unto me, all you are weary and heavy laden. I'm gentle. I'm lowly of heart. I'm humble.
Mm.
There's a inviting weakness that Jesus was willing to embrace.
Yeah.
That we want to run away from.
Well, and isn't that a part of our, I'll use a word, we don't hear as much anymore, but it's so critical, but our worldview. I mean, how do you, what is the lens by which you view creation, life, and the world in a non-biblical or, a view that doesn't take God into account? Would have to take a view of survival of the fittest,
the strongest, yeah.
the most powerful, get on top. I mean, it's about your life. And so I get that, right? And our flesh is bent that way. But when you introduce that biblical worldview, you can't go any further than, or even any better than Jesus, what you just said. And suddenly, it's the whole, that whole paradox of the Christian life that runs throughout the Christian life. When I'm weak, then I'm strong. When I lead best is when I'm washing feet over and over and over again.
Yeah. His power is made perfect in my weakness. And Jesus even himself seemed to live that out.
Yeah.
So the text, it goes from that statement in verse 26 is he's here to help us in our weak places, in our weakness. And then Paul goes on to explain, hey, here's a weakness that we have. We don't know what to pray for as we ought.
let me say something here. Just to say this, because if you had nothing but the first sentence, what would yours or my next sentence be? It wouldn't have been prayer. I mean, I don't think.
Yeah.
What strikes me is that of all the categories he could have picked, he picked prayer, which tells us, Rob, and we know it, and this is why we all feel under the pile about prayer. Is there anything more fundamental to following Jesus than prayer?
Maybe not.
I mean, he goes to it first to say, and we don't even know how we ought to pray.
We don't even know what to pray for.
No.
I love it. And it's so true. And I think he just resonates. And I love the fact that Paul, of all people,
mm-hmm.
he says, we, not you. We don't know how to pray as we ought. When I was thinking about this one, Lloyd, what came to my mind, and as I studied it, what I think Paul's intention was to say, we're not smart enough to know what to pray for because we mm-hmm. just have a tiny little slice of the picture.
Yes.
So we ask for things all the time that aren't actually good for us. If we mm-hmm. saw everything God could see, we would pray differently, wouldn't we?
Oh, yeah.
And so it's what Paul is saying here is he's saying we only see a tiny part of the picture, and so we don't even know what to pray for.
Mm.
And I think that extends, if I can say this, to our cultural moment. I hope, at least in me and in us as a church, there is a growing humility to say, hey, I know things are broken. I know, we need God to move, but let's start with humility to say we don't actually really know all that God is up to, and how can we pray? Do we pray for this candidate to get office? Do we pray for this to happen? Do we pray for that? I mean, what do we pray for? Because God is on the move here, but sometimes it's hard to see mm-hmm. what he's doing and how he's doing it, because we just have a tiny slice of the puzzle. Mm.
And we have the Spirit. He keeps coming back to it, so we're going to just keep coming back to that, y'all. The Spirit of God Almighty, the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit who is present at the creation of the heavens and the earth and all that is, the Spirit who raised Jesus Christ from the dead, he dwells in us as Christians. Mm-hmm. What more do we need, in a sense? Well, he's all we need. It's Christ in us. So, Rob, how do we, I'm just thinking, what questions that would run through my mind. So how do we, I know the passage walks us further, but how does the Spirit pray through us? What is he doing in me that enables me to pray the way he would have me pray?
Yeah. I thought about that quite a bit in this text, because you're exactly right. Where Paul goes in the very next phrase is the Spirit. I mean, you named it. It's like, we don't know what to pray for as we ought. And then the very next phrase, but the Spirit intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. So there's something there where our weakness begins, his strength takes it from there. Or maybe I should say it the opposite, where our strength ends, his strength begins. And, I almost thought about using the word partnership when I taught on this, but I don't want to convey it's a 50-50 partnership.
Mm.
Okay. It's mostly the Spirit's work, even to create in us, Lloyd, the desire to pray.
Yeah.
Is a work of the Spirit. But I do think we have a part, and I think maybe that's what you're getting after. And I don't have all the answers, but I'll tell you where I just landed in my own personal heart is I just putting this whole passage together. It's like, what is my part? The Spirit's part is to do, in a sense, the real praying. But what's my part? Here's what I came to. My part is to bring my weakness into the Spirit's presence. Is just to acknowledge I'm at the end of my ability to manage life. I'm at the end of my understanding for what's happening. I don't even know how to pray. I don't have the words to pray. I don't know how to address the situation with our family, with our church, with our culture, whatever it is. That's a starting point, at least. Bring your weakness into the presence of the Spirit. Have a conversation with him about it. And then he's able to groan in and through you, as he has a conversation with the Father about the very weakness and groanings that you brought to him.
Oh, that's good. I wonder, and I know you spent a little more time in it, but that the idea that the Spirit is groaning, interceding for us. So it intercedes. He's praying for us, and he's praying for us with these groanings too deep for words. And I think if anyone knows how to pray, it would be the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And so here we see the Spirit's prayers are groanings. So I'm back to what we were talking about before of, does groaning mark us as Christians? And I wonder how my prayers could be more marked by groaning. For example, let's go to the very familiar ACTS acronym. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. Very good, very good. Is there one that begins with G?
Then we need to slip that in there. Let's give you
AGS. Adoration, groan, and then go on.
Or confession, then it leads to the groan for me.
Yeah. But doesn't it invite us to what you said? Let our prayers be deeply marked by our longings. Let our prayers be deeply marked by the gap we see between what is and what we want, what we hope for, what we know is right, what we know is just. Let our prayers be marked by how that gap is hurting us right now. For example, you've got you're in a situation with, a broken relationships and just strained and you go, gosh, this is not the way I want it. This is not the way it's meant to be. Mm-hmm. What would it look like for my prayers to carry that weight more?
Yes.
You know, I'm not saying don't confess your sins, don't be thankful, all those things, but there's something there.
Yes.
In my own prayer life that is missing.
I think that is so good. And I was joking about putting the G in the ACTS, but I think there's something to that, Lloyd. Mm-hmm. And I think not only is that biblical because it comes straight from Romans 8, but I think it reflects the heart of God. Our groanings. Now, again, we're not talking about having a pity party or, you know, we're not talking about just being upset and angry about things. We're talking about a theologically rooted groaning that in us and around us is not the way it should be. That stirs in us, like you said, these longings. Mm-hmm. And I think, Lloyd, the deepest desires of our heart, and we talked about this all the time when we talk about the theology of the heart, the longings of our heart are there for Jesus to meet us in.
Mm.
And oftentimes your longings have to be stirred.
Yes.
They have to be really aroused and stirred up in order for you to really look to a Savior for ultimate rescue. And that is exactly what is happening big picture.
Mm.
Jesus is going to make all things new. And we are good to groan as we wait for that.
Mm-hmm. All right. We got to put some thought into that. Let's just ask everybody now, you got any thoughts on how to get the G?
Put the G in the ACTS.
In the ACTS.
And then we could write a book about it.
Oh, boy.
Okay. We'll give the proceeds to the follow campaign.
There you go. All good. All good. Well, going on to the back end of this, Rob, when Paul speaks of these groanings too deep for words, and then this little section ends, and he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Like, so the Spirit's praying for me.
Yeah.
Rob, and he's not just praying willy-nilly. Is that like he's praying, I don't even know the will of God, as you said earlier, but I can trust the Spirit is doing that?
I had a moment where, you know, you're up there teaching and you don't know if things are translating or not. But I just sometimes, and Lord, I know this happens to you because we talked about it before, you'd get so swept up in what the text is saying. And then it's almost like, is anybody else getting this? Because my head is exploding. So what the moment was for me was around
that
exactly what you just said. And it was this idea, God knows, I don't know what to pray for. Who does know how to pray for? God. So God says, I am going to take me in the form of my Spirit, in a sense, you know, the third person of the Trinity, and I'm going to put my Spirit in you, and then I'm going to pray on your behalf, and I'm going to pray according to what my will is, so that in essence, you are praying my will, and that's what I'm going to do.
You just made my head explode again.
Yeah. It's so kind. It's not just brilliant, it's kind. He sees our weakness. The Spirit helps us in our weakness. Glory to God.
Yeah. That's hope, isn't it?
Yeah.
Isn't that real hope to know that we're in His hands? In whatever situation you find yourself in today, you're listening to this and... You know, Rob and I know this. No one's listened to this with a perfect life or an unbroken life without loss and pain and hurts. No one. And can you know as well that the God who loves you, His Spirit is praying God's will for you? Do you think God the Father answers the prayers of God the Spirit?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Do you think the Spirit ever prays something that's out of the will of God? No. You've got to sit with that. to let that hold you, you know, to let that be your comfort and your peace. But my goodness, when we go there, I feel my own heart calming now, just talking about it, Rob. So good. And I love that you said that. So kind of God to do that. When is he not looking out for us?
I know. I felt that sense when I was studying it, Lloyd. And then, and I know we'll talk about this later, and you're about to do a message on this, but it leads right into the very next verse.
Mm-hmm.
All things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. If God loves us that much that he would put his spirit in us to only pray the things according to his will and intercede for us in that way, how could it not be true that all things are in his care?
Mm-hmm.
I hope what's happening is we're teaching through Romans in our body. And I think this is what's happening, Lloyd, is the Spirit is stirring worship. The Spirit is calling us to love God, the Father, God, the Son, and God, the Spirit more passionately as we're just seeing things we've never seen before, thinking things we've never thought of before. And for this specific text, the application I would take is, I hope this passage, like it has for me, stirs people to pray. And in a way, it's hard to know how to apply this text, Lloyd, because it's like, well, it just says, I don't know what to pray for. So what do I pray for? And I know what I pray for is that may not be right. But listen, the idea as I thought about this text is Paul, the whole time, the underlying assumption in Paul's mind is you're praying, okay? In those prayers, of which are not always the right things to pray for, the Spirit is praying the right things. So pray. Pray with more confidence, because even if you don't get the words right, it's the Spirit that's going to help you in your weakness. Pray with more frequency. And then I just think this weakness part is just bring your weakness, bring your mess into the presence of God. That's the invitation for us, for the sake of our church, for the sake of our culture, for the sake of our families, for the sake of our ailing bodies.
Yes.
Let's just bring our weakness into the presence of the Spirit.
Well, how about I end us with prayer? If you're driving, don't close your eyes. Keep driving.
Everybody but else, close your eyes.
Let me make this. It's going to sound familiar, but let me make this a prayer. And actually, I will say this: having been in this Romans 8 for a while, I have been singing this a lot lately. And it's my prayer for me. Start there, but for our body. But I'll just pray it now. So I trust the Holy Spirit in me.
Good.
Is leading.
Yeah.
Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. This is our prayer. It's our song. It's our groan. Amen.
Amen.
And I look forward to the next time we get to get together on the Third Way Podcast.
Thanks for listening to The Third Way. For more information about the cultural paradigm, and to download additional resources to help you engage culture, visit fellowshipbiblechurch.org/thirdway. Be sure to subscribe to this podcast so you'll know every time we release a new episode. Remember, we are a people of the Third Way. Let's walk in the light, love without fear, and hold fast to the truth. For he who calls us is faithful.